Welcome back to The Big Something, in-depth conversation on culture and ideas in the Pikes Peak region. I'm Jake Brownell. If you've ever been to Seattle's bustling Pike Place Market, where fishmongers, florists, farmers, and all manner of other vendors gather each day to sell their goods to locals and tourists alike, then you know the potential of a public market. For the last 4 years, a coalition of local business people, nonprofit leaders, and food activists have been working to realize that potential in downtown Colorado Springs, in the form of the Colorado Springs Public Market. Earlier this month, the board of the public market announced plans to open in 2016 in the historic Payne Chapel, formerly home to the Green Man Tap Room, near the corner of Weber and Costilla Streets downtown. I recently spoke with Colorado Springs Public Market Board President Dave Anderson, Secretary Sally Davis, and board member and owner of Ranch Foods Direct, Mike Calicrate, about their vision for the market and their plans for the new space. So just to begin, talk a little bit about the genesis of the public market project, when it started, and why it was started in the first place.
Dave, you can probably remind me how many years ago it was, but I had come back from Milwaukee on a trip and had seen the Milwaukee Public Market. It was on a Saturday morning, mid-morning, and the place was buzzing. The tour buses were lined up down the block, unloading folks with their shopping canvas shopping bags and reloading those who had finished their shopping. And it was just an amazing, bustling place. And I learned about the market when I was there. I got the full tour of the market by the manager of that market and learned about what a depressed part of town that Third Ward was formerly before the public market. And I just got to thinking, we really need something like this in Colorado Springs. We really need somewhere in our city, in the downtown center of this city, that provides us with this kind of place, sort of a kitchen, the kitchen of the house, so to speak, in this city. And so I came home and talked to Dave about it, and that kind of worked into what the other thing we were working on, Dave, called the Soil Initiative, which is the sustaining our interdependent livelihoods, which was really about a connection from the farm to the plate, and sort of what the Ranch Foods Direct model has become. And so the public market really became a focus for myself, Dave Anderson, and others like Sally, and that have worked for now a long time, a good while.
And so, Dave, what was your original interest in this project when Mike brought it to you? Why did you want to get on board?
My personal concern for our community, for all of America, has to do with good jobs, keeping our income here rather than in. Today is one of the days that the administration is promoting the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, which I'm afraid is going to just offshore more jobs. We need to have income here. We can do that with a much higher proportion of growing the food that we can actually consume. Keep the jobs, keep the income, not expand our carbon footprint. It's a win-win-win.
And Sally, when did you get on board with this project, and what was it about the project for you that really seemed appealing?
I've been involved in nonprofit management and nonprofit startups for a number of years, so I was brought in part to help stand the organization, which had gone from a conversation to a task force to something that was under the umbrella of the Pikes Peak Community Foundation, and I helped with the process. We're now an independent 501c3.
Mm-hmm. And so, in its earliest stages, what was the vision for this market, specifically in Colorado Springs? Where was it going to be? What was it going to look like?
You know, in the early stages, I can remember walking around down at the Chrissy Fowler location where the old lumber yard was in the southwest part of downtown Colorado Springs, and visualizing that as a potentially 30,000 square foot, much like Milwaukee, type of a public market, and also a food hub. So we would have a public market where people could actually buy things that were produced locally, food in particular, but also a food hub where farmers could bring in product and connect to distribution into the Colorado Springs area. And so that's kind of what I saw as the original idea for a public market and the location for it. And as we stood there and looked around, I was with a woman from Brooklyn, New York that day, and she sort of did a 360, and she said, you know, Mike, for for a city to be a city, people should live in it. And of course, as you look around from that perspective in the southwest part of our downtown, there's nobody that you can't see anyone living there. And so the whole point of the market was to really connect farmers and better to consumers with better, higher quality, more healthy food. But it's also about revitalizing. And the lesson, of course, in Milwaukee and other places like Grand Rapids and others, it's an opportunity to revitalize. And so that was my original perspective, at least.
Sally?
One of the things that folks may or may not be aware of is that Colorado Springs downtown is in a food desert. So one of the huge impediments to urban living has always been that you have to still own a car. You have to get in the car and you have to go someplace else to get food. You have to go and get the things you need to live. We're trying to break that cycle to provide some alternatives so that our near neighbor is going to be the folks at Blue Dot who will be moving in probably in the next 30 days. And we're delighted to be able to offer sometime in 16 the services they want, the food they want, the coffee they want, the bread they want.
Do you see the public market as being part of a broader kind of surge in this community toward a more robust and vital downtown? Do you see that happening here right now?
Downtown Colorado Springs. I've only lived here since 93, so I'm by no means a native. But it's never had kind of a heart. It's never had a gathering point. When I moved here in 93, you could drive a tank down Tejon Street at 515 and not impact anybody. And obviously that's changed for the better in so many different ways and in ways that show a growing momentum for continuing change and improvement in downtown. But if we can be part of creating a hub, creating that social space, creating a place where people from all over town can interact, maybe we can break down some of the silos. Maybe we can have people no longer say, I don't want to go downtown, parking is bad and it's dangerous, when that's not true. Let's give people a way to come together so that we can be a stronger, more resilient community.
I want to talk a little bit about the business model for the public market. And you formed a nonprofit, 501c3, and I'm curious about your thinking around that and around, you know, what type of organization should this public market be, and maybe comparing it to some of the other similar types of markets that exist in other places.
I think most of the markets are nonprofits. Many of them are very heavily subsidized by government. Ours is not going to be that way, but the intention is, as has been from the very first, to get as much income to the farm or the ranch gate so that we can have more than a few percent of what we consume made here. That's essential for our future. So our fundamental philosophy is called every tub on its own bottom. The market has to have a fiscal balance, and we need to be in a position to charge the vendors one way or another enough to pay our freight. And that's essentially what we're trying to do. The facility that we acquired is a little smaller than we might like, which makes the income level a little bit of a challenge. But if we can complete the initial set of renovations, I think we have enough revenue in the model with the purchase structure that's in place that if we can buy it, then we can, on a continuing basis, both support the management as well as offer the space to vendors at a reasonable rate.
And talk about this space, the Payne Chapel, which you've recently acquired. It's a lease-to-own agreement. Can you talk a little bit about what that space is going to look like, what your intentions are, and how you want to turn that chapel into the public market?
The Payne Chapel was built in, depending on who you listen to, 1893 or 1897. And the reason there's some uncertainty is that when you take a look at the keystone in the corner of the building, it says 189, and then there's an area where a number has been chiseled off. It's one of five tracts of land that were given to the city by General Palmer to house churches. It was the first black church in Colorado Springs. It was an AME congregation that was desanctified in the 80s. The building then became first a insurance office. Then it was an event center. Most recently, it was the Green Man Tap Room. And when it became available in May, I guess, we were very excited to take a look at it and try to see if this could fit what we wanted to do. We've had the first pass of having a contractor and an architect through the space to talk about what's doable. And we're exploring doing it in phases, which is the only way you can approach a project of this scope. So Ranch Foods Direct retail operations is probably likely to be the first phase because that's the easiest thing to do. The second phase will be rehabilitating what we're calling the sanctuary space, which is on the upper level of this structure, to contain between 8 and 12 vendors. The bottom level will be the third phase, and we're hoping to open that up, bring in some natural light, and create a patio area.
And do you have any vendors on board yet?
Yes, yes. We have a number of vendors. We have a baker who's committed. We have a lunch and coffee place that has committed. We have a woman who does Oaxacan-style tamales that are wonderful, and she's very excited about joining us. We also have a number of other vendors in the pipeline with whom we're having ongoing conversations. And if there are people listening to this who say, boy, I've always wanted to run a flower store, I've always wanted to have a place to show my arts and crafts, I'd be happy to talk with them. And I can be, you can drop me an email at sdavis@cspublicmarket.com. Love to have a cup of coffee and learn more about somebody who's interested.
And Dave, you mentioned the fact that a lot of these kinds of spaces in other cities are subsidized. Was that something that you ever wanted to pursue for the public market here, or was that always off the table as far as you guys were concerned?
The board always has considered the space something that is intended to create community. And we would encourage everyone in the community to find the right ways to support the organization. This is not, however, Boston, where the city would contribute $10 million and the state $20 million to open a public market in the Haymarket station of the MTA, which has happened in the last 2 years. So we're just realistic about the community we live in. There are many resources. There are many people who've said publicly in surveys as well as individuals that they're very interested in what we're doing. So we will, we've announced, have a capital campaign here over the next 5 years intended to generate the funds not from necessarily grants, certainly not from government, but from an enthusiastic community to have the capability to expand the facility to the 30,000 feet that our feasibility study was said was realistic for the community we support.
Mike, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the importance of markets like this to ranchers, to farmers, to people who are bringing product to market, and how something like this can maybe fill a hole in terms of how local producers can bring their product to consumers in the city.
During the last 30 or 40 years, we've really lost a huge sector of our marketplace. We've seen further concentration and consolidation within our industries, within agriculture, from the meat industries to the grain, to all the foods that are produced, and we've seen massive consolidation at retail, with Walmart now leading the way among all the retailers, and as a result, farmers have lost their access to markets, and if we can just create a place where price can be discovered between consumers and the producer, it could serve a much bigger benefit than just having a place to sell something and for people to buy things. And so my bigger issue that I think about a lot is how do we create additional income at the farm and ranch gate, save the family farmer and rancher while giving the eater the very, very best quality food from as close to home as they possibly can get it. And so I think the public market model is a wonderful model to really do connect better the farmer and the eater. And to be able to do that in Colorado Springs, where Eric Schlosser has essentially described this city as a pretty dysfunctional place around food, that would be a big deal. It would really be amazing if we can really do this and do it successfully here in Colorado Springs. And so I'm all about creating markets and sustainable income back to the farm and ranch gate. And honestly, the way the system's set up today with the market power of big retail, the market power of big meat packing and processing, those companies now are global. Many of them are foreign-owned, yet they are our biggest processors. It's in our interest of national security and food sovereignty to rebuild these local regional food systems. So I'm excited about it being in Colorado Springs.
And so when can we expect to see the public market open at Payne Chapel?
That would be a question that we'd be in a better position to address, ideally shortly, when we get a sense of what the timeline of the improvements that we'll need to make. I'm an optimist at heart, and my thought is that we will have some level of operation in 16 with a hard open for the market itself, perhaps as early as the end of the first quarter. But that's everything breaking our way.
And lastly, you know, you guys have been at this for a while. I realize there have been other moments when it seemed like it was going to happen in one place or another place, and it didn't exactly pan out in the way that you had expected. What has kept you going through that, and why have you continued to push forward in this project?
I might just say, from my perspective, I go home to St. Francis, Kansas almost every weekend, where our farm and ranch is. It's just on the Colorado-Kansas border east, about 200 miles. And I get to see what has occurred in this small farm town and the decline. We've got one-third of the students in our school system in St. Francis compared to 35, 40 years ago. Our Main Street is almost devoid of business. The most successful shop on Main Street is a used clothing store. We finally got our grocery store reopened again after being closed for a good while. And so I see this economic struggle in the small farm community every week. And so I am reminded how important it is to make better connections to urban centers from these places, which can really help bring the income back up in these rural communities that are under the pressure of the abusive market practices of a highly concentrated food system.
But it's not just food. At some very fundamental level, we need to make things here. And if we're going to have another generation survive, let alone prosper, we need to be making more stuff. What better place to start? What more fundamental need to meet than making more of your food?
Making more of our own food, those are jobs that can never be outsourced. They can never go away. An investment in bringing back the small urban farm. Apocryphally, I've been told that 50 years ago there were as many as 300 small farms in El Paso County, and currently there are three, of which obviously the largest is Vinatucci. What if we could bring some of that back? Those jobs will never go away, and people willing to work the land and having that investment, those are people who are not going to decide after 2 years that they're moving. They're going to stay tied to this community.
And the public market gives the people who live here, the eaters who live here, the opportunity to support those jobs that'll never go away. It's like that young man from L.A. that's planting food in all the bare spots around the city. He said, you know, growing food is like printing your own money. I mean, he acknowledges the wealth-creating benefits of growing things or making things, as Dave would say.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for coming in and talking to me.
Thanks for this opportunity.
Thanks.